Welcome to the Garden Show. I'm Molly Kabler, and I'm Molly Kabler because we are missing Kitty today. There is a power outage where she lives, and she normally has been joining us during this pandemic from her home, and we're happy she's safe there, but that sadly means she's not here on the Garden Show this morning. But I'm here, and I've got lots to share with you, and I would love to hear from you. 747-5877 is the number. Becky's here in the studio with me to help make this happen. So if you have something you want to ask about or talk about or something that's gone terribly well. Yeah, we'd love to hear something that's gone terribly well in your garden this year. I just wanted to start by saying hang in there with your gardening. It could turn out nice any day now, and you'll be happy that you didn't give up. We have any number of veggies that are still coming along in their cool climate with lots of rain. I know my broccoli is looking very good. And the risk, of course, is if you don't get out in your garden and see it, it could suddenly be so mature that it's not preem or prime anymore. And so you really want to stay on track of that. My cabbages are slow. A lot of gardeners who normally have very great productivity are having a very slow summer in terms of productivity, smaller produce, potentially less, more struggle with, of course, things like the molds and mildews. This is a terrific climate for slugs, and so they are really active. We're also having a really bonus year on the sawflies, which we've been struggling with too. But nonetheless, I go out to my garden and there are some shining stars. So one of the things I wanted to talk about in just a couple of minutes are cut flowers. There's still flowers to cut, and a few tips on those in terms of bringing in what's growing in your garden so that you can really enjoy them without having to be in the rain. So that's another way to enjoy your garden even in a wet climate. But first, I was speaking this week with Steve, who gardens on Admiralty, and he asked me, what about copper? What about the idea of lining your beds with copper? And I said, well, I've heard that a row of pennies is not particularly helpful. I think what the conclusion is there's not actually enough copper in the pennies. But he said, for him, it is working, and what he uses is the copper strapping, that perforated copper strapping that's normally used to hold pipes in plumbing solutions. So you can buy it at the hardware store, and he said his suggestion was to use a double layer, and the fact that it's perforated makes it really easy to hammer or tack onto the edges of your beds, presumably wood construction beds. So he felt like that was really working for him and suggested it as a solution. Copper typically is pretty expensive, but I did a quick look, and the perforated copper strap is really not too terribly expensive as copper goes. So if you're looking to find a way and you have sort of a defined garden bed that you can ring with this copper strapping, maybe that's a way to go and to a solution to help you out. The one thing to know is if for some reason the slugs get past that copper, you have nothing protecting your plants on the inside. So you might still want to be vigilant and see what's happening. The other thing I've noticed about the slugs this week is that they are creating more slug eggs. I think, I don't know whether it's a seasonal thing or they've just grown up to be big enough for reproduction or what slug strategy is for reproducing themselves, but I've definitely seen them in and amongst my vegetable beds circling up in a pile of slime. And what comes next is a whole series of slug eggs. So be vigilant if you can on your slugs, and the big picture, that'll really help you. 747-5877 is the number if you want to call in and talk with me on the Garden Show this morning. If you're just tuning in and you're not hearing Kitty, it's because there's a power outage where she is and she can't join me. So I'd love to speak with you this morning. This is a time when people are hopeful that they're going to have tomatoes. So if you're a tomato grower, and I'm guessing you have them either in a window, in a sunroom, or perhaps in your greenhouse, And tomatoes are sort of notoriously fussy in our climate. And there are so many varieties of tomatoes that it can be hard to know which one to choose. If you've grown tomatoes for a number of years and honed in on your favorite varieties, you probably know what's going to go well for your specific space or climate. But if you haven't and you're wondering, why the heck do some of my tomatoes seem to be doing something and others of my tomatoes do not, it could be because there are not only many varieties of tomatoes, but also two types of tomatoes. So there's determinate tomato plants and indeterminate tomato plants. And they have a very different reproductive strategy, so that makes them produce differently. So we'll start with the determinants. And determinants sort of go with what that word means. There is a determinant end to what they do. So they grow to a certain size, then they bloom, and then they create tomatoes. And that's the end. They don't go from there. So I think I have a caller, but I did not get that time. Hello, you're on the Garden Show.
Good morning, Molly. I have a question related to carrots. So I have carrots in an elevated garden bed that's, maybe waist high. I've used the same bed for years and years, grown different varieties, whatever's in town. But this year, my challenge is that the tops are turning yellow, and I've never seen that before. When I researched it, it said too much water, not enough water, too much fertilizer, not enough, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm confused as to what it could be and how to remedy.
So without me being there, I have to admit I would be confused, and it's going to be difficult to know. But here's one thing to realize. I've heard from several people this is a rough year on carrots. So have faith that it's not just you.
They're definitely smaller.
Yep. And a lot of people are seeing that they're smaller and stubbier, and it sounds like you've grown carrots many times, and usually you just have these luxurious greens up above your carrots, right?
Yes.
And
uh-huh.
That's just not what we have this year. It's difficult to know exactly. I think the too much water thing is really likely. The other thing that does happen, and it seems odd, is when we garden in the same place, we slowly deplete the nutrients that are in that soil. And a lot of us pay attention to replacing the nitrogen components. So how have you amended that soil in the last year or so?
Oh, it's brand new soil every year.
Okay. So then it's probably not a nutritional piece in terms of like a micronutrient or not enough of the nitrogen source to really produce a plant. But then it's also, if it's brand new soil, you could have gotten a bad batch of soil. That's the thing that's so hard is everything. There's so many variables. And when you can't run a scientific experiment in your yard to know, which variable it is. But I would say, are they like melting away as well as turning yellow?
No, it's just the green part is yellow and slow growth. And of course, there's no slugs because it's up so high.
Right. And this, you don't know if this is the same brand that you, the same variety that you've grown in the past?
I don't know that. I always use the shorter ones because of limited depth.
Yeah.
And it's whatever I can find in town.
Right. That makes sense. Well, here's what I would suggest. Don't give up. And you might try something, a side dressing with something heavy in nitrogen. And if by chance it's a nitrogen shortage, that's the easiest thing to remedy. We can't reduce the rain, particularly unless you're going to cover them. And, but that is sort of the one thing that you could try and might make a difference for you and is pretty easy. And you can't hurt your carrots by adding a side dressing of something high nitrogen.
Okay. I could get umbrellas to go over the top.
You sure could.
Hey, thank you so much, and I really enjoy your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling, Carol. Good luck with the carrots.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it is a funny year, and things that we have always grown that seem like they should be fine, they aren't fine this year. And I've noticed the same thing with my carrots. Mine aren't yellow, but they just are not robust. It's just curious. All right, so 747-5877 is the number to call into the Garden Show this morning. I'd love to visit with you and hear what's going on in your garden or what you have a question about. I was just kind of checking in on the tomato growing and talking about determinate and indeterminate. And just to touch back again so we can pick up the thread, determinate means the plants grow to the size they're going to grow. They set flowers. In theory, they set fruit, and then that's the end. Those plants don't continue to flower anymore. They simply, hopefully, ripen up the tomatoes that have set. And the indeterminate ones are sort of the opposite in the sense that they're vining, they keep growing the size of the plant, they keep blooming, they often will set fruit and keep blooming for a longer period of time. So if you're wondering, if you have a couple different varieties and you're not sure whether what they're doing and they're very different from one another, it could be because one's a determinate and one's an indeterminate. The sad fact is it could be so many other things. Tomatoes have blossom end rot. They suffer from the molds and mildews. They need to be pollinated, and a small brush, if you are growing them in an enclosed space, you probably have to do some of the pollination yourself. Small paintbrush works great. And then even watering inside can make a big difference if your watering is really uneven for them. And if they are pretty pot-bound, that uneven watering can happen really quickly because they dry out so fast. And that's going to be the opposite of what's happening in your garden right now because you probably have your tomatoes under glass or under cover. So there's a lot of things. And if you want to know more, if you want to read something, Jeff Lowenfels, who is the garden writer at ADN, this week's column was all about tomatoes. And I'll warn you, he doesn't offer you a whole lot of solutions. He's a little bit like me in that there are so many different potential problems that if you get a tomato, you just need to be happy that you got one. And I would really encourage you, if you want to be successful with tomatoes, that you pay attention to the variety that you're growing year to year and note how productive they are for you. Or ask around for varieties. We used to have sort of some classic cold weather varieties that everybody grew, but now there are hundreds of varieties of tomatoes. And what we see in commerce is oftentimes the same varieties are not available. So good luck with your tomatoes. And if you have some, I'm happy for you. I actually am not much of a tomato grower. I just find they're so fussy for me. And I would rather grow things that don't take so much fussing. But a garden fresh or a greenhouse fresh tomato, nothing like it. All right, 747-5877 is the number if you would like to call in for the Garden Show today. We're talking about gardening solutions in rainy weather. And the next thing I think you can think about is making cut flower bouquets to bring in so that you're not out in rainy weather enjoying your garden for all of the time. So there's a few things to know about cutting flowers to bring them in. And things like, how do you deal with, when do you cut them, how do you cut them, and how do you keep them long-lasting in your house? So let's talk about the long-lasting part for a minute. The way to have long-lasting flowers in water is to have a sharp and clean either clippers or scissors. And the other thing is to sort of pay attention to the water that you're using and the container. We have a caller. Hello, you're on the Garden Show.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for your show. I have a question on your opinion of those paper strips that have the seeds already in them. I did a little experiment this summer, and I don't know if it's the rain or the paper strips, but my carrots are not doing the worst they've ever done in years.
Yeah, it's a tough carrot year, isn't it? So you used, we usually call that seed tape, but
right.
You're exactly right. It's paper strips with seeds in them, and they're designed to help you sow your seeds at the right distance. And I think they're a really clever idea. I haven't used them myself, but I have often wondered why I haven't when suddenly I have such a dense planting of something because I wasn't very efficient with the seed. So have you used your seed tape before this year?
No, I haven't. And I just remembered I used them on the beets too, and they're not doing well either.
Yeah, it's hard to know. We're having such a tough year that it's a little bit hard to know whether it's the seed tape or whether it's actually just the year. Carrots in our climate have gotten difficult to germinate no matter. And the other thing I find is if there's an active crowd of slugs, they take carrot seedlings down overnight, so you never even get a chance to see them. You think they didn't germinate, but they almost did. So I would recommend trying them again if that's something you want to do in hopes that we have a different year and it would be easier. And and you might
They're kind of sporadic, so I kind of feel like some of them germinated, but not the the density that with the seeds.
Right.
So yeah.
Did the package have a germination rate? Because sometimes that's another clue.
I imagine it did.
Yeah, sometimes the seed packs will tell you the germination rate is 70% or something. So we have an expectation that like every seed is going to germinate, and in fact, they don't. So,
okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I would not give up if seed tape feels right to you and try again in another year. And you might try a few non-seed tape alternating with a seed tape and see how it goes.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, seed tape. It's a nice innovation. And the question is, is it the seed tape or is it the weather this year on whether there's successful germination? The other thing to remember about beets is beets have a really big seed. It's a bigger seed than most seeds you plant. And when they germinate, there are actually several seeds in that little wrinkly seed-like structure, and you generally have to cut them back so that you only have one beet plant per space because they need shoulder room to actually produce that thing. So I think I have another call coming in. 747-5877 is the number. Wait until I'm finished with this call, though. Hello, you're on The Garden Show.
Hi, Molly. It's Kitty.
Kitty, so great to hear from you. Thanks for joining me on The Garden Show. What's going on?
Well, I made it into town. My phone was dying, or I would have called in earlier. Have a little power issue out there on the island. So, sorry I couldn't be there. I did hear the last caller about the tape, and I had a couple of maybe suggestions. If that's okay.
Hey, you're the host of The Garden Show. Bring it on.
Well, I feel like I'm a caller now.
you're both, dual status.
Yes, yeah, so we'll see how long my phone lasts. But at any rate, one of the things that I started switching to instead of tape, and I have used the tape successfully, but I started using the pelleted seeds. For some of those tiny ones, and I've had pretty good luck with that, but they definitely have to stay moist or they won't germinate. It's like that the clay substance on the outside needs to dissolve completely. But yeah, it's always a tough carrot year, but I try the pelleted seed too. I wouldn't give up on the tape because it definitely makes it easier for spacing things.
All right. So for our caller who was talking about seed tape, this is yet another solution to make it easier to broadcast or plant the seeds that are tiny, tiny, and that's pelleted seed, and they have some sort of a compound on the outside. But again, maybe the hint from Kitty is it's not only it's not only the tape or germination rate, but it's also moisture. Although we've had such a moist year, but if you think back to April and May, it wasn't very wet then, and we could have had actual problems due to not enough moisture for seed germination. What do you think, Kitty?
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility. I started being really super careful about my carrot bed every year, because it seems to be very susceptible to any sort of drying, because those seeds are tiny and they're pretty close to the surface. So I kind of gently water that, and I put row cover over it. So I think moisture could have been an issue earlier in the season if that's when she planted the tape.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear from you and hear the, because I haven't used seed tape successfully before, so I'm glad to get some hands-on experience about seed tape. Anything else you wanted to add, Kitty? It's great to hear you.
Oh, it's fun to be here. I was also going to say I tested out, it was like a wild salad mix. It was more than a tape. It was almost like a little, it looked like a little piece of row cover that was embedded with seeds. And I wanted to test that. I mean, I have all those seeds. I didn't need to grow that way. But it actually worked pretty well. So if you had a small space and didn't want to buy individual packets of the seeds, that little embedded material actually worked pretty slick.
Yeah, that would be a good way to have a variety of things without buying a lot of packs that you know you're not going to use because your own gardening space is small.
Yeah, and let's see, before I get off here, I'll just say that despite that nasty storm, some of my flowers actually look still pretty good. The dahlias stood up to that wind, and at my house I was getting it full on. The gladiolas, believe it or not, stood up to the wind, and the snapdragon stood up to the wind. So hear it for the flowers.
Yeah, and those are all big, bright, bold ones. So they're really going to have impact both either in your yard or in your vases. And that's what I'm just going to share some information about cutting flowers and bringing them in. So do you want to say anything about that before you go?
The little tiny bit I heard, Molly, I totally agree with. So, you know, take your water jar out with you to the garden, use sharp tools, and, you know, let those flowers condition a little bit before you bring them in. That is, let them sit in that water in a cool, shaded spot, you know, for at least a few hours before you make them into a bouquet.
All right. Thanks, Kitty. Thanks for calling. Talk to you next time.
Okay. Have a great show.
Thanks. Good luck with the power.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening to The Garden Show. Kitty joined us. That was great. She has a power outage at her house today, so I'm flying along here. I was going to say I'm flying solo, but I'm not really because Becky's helping me out, and you are too by calling. 747-5877 is the number if you'd like to call in and join me on The Garden Show. We're kind of working around the calls and talking about cutting flowers and talking about things that have either not gone well, or we'd love to even talk about things that are going well in your garden. The thing about cut flowers is if you can remember the things you cut that do well and what doesn't do well, it can help you have long-lasting bouquets for the energy and time you put into it. So that's one thing to think about. And this year, I know that the flowers in my garden right now are several varieties that really work well. So Zoe, I know you were calling and we lost you on the call. So just give us a ring back and we'll try again. We'd love to hear from you. So Zoe, give me a call back. So the flowers that right now look great in the yard and will come in and last pretty long in a vase are the astrantias, also known as the masterworts. Dahlias are fabulous for coming in right now. Feverfew, the lilies, the astilbes, and the snapdragons. So those are all long-lasting ones. Delphiniums probably took a hit in that last storm, and if yours are bending around and laying down, this would be a great time to cut them and put them in water. Hello, you're on The Garden Show.
Hi, I have a quick question about peppers.
Wonderful. What's happening?
So So a couple years ago, I got like a packet of peppers, and I planted them in my pot inside. I didn't think they would do too well outside.
I think you're right.
And then I grew them. They had little baby peppers. They were delicious. And so I collected the seeds from them and then planted them like a year later. And they grew, and they did great, and they did not produce peppers.
Okay.
Is something that I did, or should I just get a new packet?
So here's the question. Do you still have your original seed packet? Because if it was a hybrid pepper, so a hybrid means you're actually taking two varieties, crossing them, and what happens is people test this out, and the plant or the fruit that grows from the hybrid is exactly what they want, but it requires them crossing, it's the genetics thing, requires them crossing two things to get what they want. So if your pepper, your original pepper seeds were from a hybrid, they produce that beautiful pepper, but by the time you harvest the pepper and save the seed, you no longer have the hybrid seed. You have just a pepper seed. And so oftentimes hybrid plants don't produce viable seed. Well, your seed was viable because you got a plant, but it might not have been a plant that created the pepper, created a pepper. So I wouldn't say it was you. It might have been that you were growing a hybrid, and if you have the package, it might tell you. If that's not the issue, the other issue could be just this is a tough year for growing anything, but you're still growing them inside, so presumably your conditions are similar?
Yeah.
Okay. And are they kind of as big as when they produced peppers the last time?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe slightly smaller.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't give up yet. I mean, it's not too late in the season. I mean, we are losing daylight, but with them inside, it still could happen. But I think your next clue to find out is to see if you were growing a hybrid pepper.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks so much for calling. And it's great that you were able to save the seeds and have another plant. That's a great skill.
Mm-hmm. Well, have a nice day.
All right. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. Yeah, so saving seeds, it's a really good thing to do. It always helps to know if you're saving seed of a hybrid, because oftentimes that does not happen. That does not turn into being the plant that you thought you were growing. So just a couple minutes left on the garden show. Probably do have time for a quick last call. I have been rattling on with a couple of wonderful and wanted interruptions on cut flowers, so we can always talk about that the next time. But one of the things to think about is, call. Hello, you're on the garden show.
Hi, Molly. I have a question about these sawflies I've been hearing about. I heard from the tree people that they were hemlock sawflies, and they were attacking the hemlocks. But then I think it was on the last garden show, Kitty said there was an imported sawfly that was killing currants and gooseberry plants. So are they the same? Can you tell me more about these sawflies? And
what I can tell you is that, Jude, thanks so much for your call. And what I can tell you is, sadly, there are many sawflies. So, yeah, there's the hemlock sawfly, and then there's this other sawfly, and then there are many more sawflies beyond that. So I don't know exactly which one you're having a struggle with, but we have more than one. And did you get a chance to hear the solutions, which is basically clean up underneath your shrub or plant and burn or trash whatever those leaves are? That's really your best solution.
Right. Yes, I did hear that. So do we have sawflies normally, or why is it just seemed to be such an infestation this year?
We normally have sawflies, but sometimes the weather is really helpful, and also the pest load that would eat sawflies. There's so many variables, but this is a bad year. But I have to tell you, we're just running out of time. So thanks so much for your call. And let me know if we can answer more of your questions another time. Really appreciate it. And best of luck with your sawflies.
Thank you, Molly.
All right. You're listening to The Garden Show, KCAW, Sitka.